2 right, the beginning of channel 2 right, and I'm setting it up for Nick for this breakfast this Friday morning, the 3rd of September, 1971. Channel 2 right, and I'm setting it up for Nick this Friday morning at breakfast, the 3rd of September, 1971. Channel 2 right, I'm setting it up for Nick this Friday morning at breakfast, the 3rd of September, 1971. Channel 2 right, and I'm setting up for Nick this Friday morning, the 3rd of September, 1971. Channel 2 right, and I'm setting up for Nick this Friday morning, the 3rd of September, 1971. Channel 2 right, and I'm setting up for Nick this Friday morning, the 3rd of September, 1971. This channel 2 right and beginning the visit with Nick at breakfast. At breakfast this Friday morning, the 3rd of September, 71. And the beginning of the
closed door for him.
So that doesn't interfere with her business being pretty.
That's right.
She can still play tennis.
That's right, because she's modeling tennis clothes.
And she did that all along?
Still does.
Well, now, that just shows you now, she got all the gifts. And one don't interfere with another, Faith.
That's right.
Yeah. Can you do that? Do it all?
And they all going to be there. Is that why you go, just to see them?
Well, I don't really go. I don't go just for that. I mean, if that were the only thing there in New York, I don't know that I'd go just for that. There's always about 10 different things up there to do, that just being one. Like they're having a special ballet season. Did you read about that in New Yorker? The New York Ballet is putting on a month-long special program or something. I wanted to see that. And, all the family relatives are up there.
Relatives?
Nick, now who is this one that you stay with over in Jersey?
Oh, Fritz.
The woman you tell, the older woman. Who has the Rolls Royce. She's well.
Oh, Loretta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she has an apartment on Central Park. Overlooking Central Park on 8th Avenue.
Is that where you stay?
Well, sometimes I stay there. Sometimes I stay with her brother, Fritz, who lives in New Jersey.
Are they your kin folks?
Mm-hmm. My uncle and aunt.
Oh. What's her name?
Her name's Loretta. My uncle's name's Fritz.
What?
Cooser.
Cooser.
K-U-S-E-R. My mother's maiden name. Yeah.
Are they like your mother?
No. Totally opposite. Diametrically opposed.
Are they?
Oh, really?
Mom doesn't even like them. Won't even associate with them.
That mother of yours is something.
She prefers the country. She doesn't like the big city. She refused to go to New York.
She refuses to go to Europe?
She won't even, when they come down here to see him, unless Well, Retta always comes down and spends a week or two in the winter in Daytona Beach, and Mom won't even go up there to see her. If Retta will come down to the house, that'd be different, but...
Well, she'd like to have her come visit her in the house.
No, that'd be all right, yeah.
Be all right.
But I always enjoy Loretta. She's another one of those regal types. She has a... Her apartment is got a private elevator and everything. End up right in her room. And, got servants and chauffeur and all that. She always takes me to lunch at the Waldorf.
That's the new Waldorf.
Oh, and it's torn down. Well, that's been a long time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know where the chandelier from the old Waldorf Astoria is? hanging in the Ringling House over here in Sarasota.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Also, my great-grandfather had 3 poker tables made in France out of mahogany. Beautiful. Round tables about this big. And brought them to New York, all 3 of them, distributed them among the family. We have one. Fritz has another one, and the 3rd one has just disappeared completely, and we found it in the Ringling House. A couple of years ago.
Oh,
and we haven't been able to figure out how in the world it got there.
Loretta talk or you talk? She talk all the time?
She's 85. She's feeble and all. She talks nothing but newsy weather stuff. She don't talk much.
She's 85. Well, how'd she get to be your aunt?
Well, actually, she's my great aunt. She's my mother's aunt.
Oh, I see. Well, that's all about that. But still, your mother...
She just doesn't like that way of life.
We'll have it. We persuaded her to go to New York one time. Of course, she had to stay on the farm. So my Uncle Fritz has a farm in Trenton, New Jersey. And so when we went to New York, she stayed at the farm. She wouldn't go any closer.
Well, what does Uncle Fritz do with the farm? Is he your great uncle?
He's Loretta's brother. Yeah, he's about 65, 70. Yeah, well, he's a big wig and everything, sort of. He's not much the noble type, but he's into everything. Owns 20th Century Fox, owns Lennox China, lots of things.
He's the one with the tennis. Keeps up the tennis.
Mm-hmm. He has tennis court there. And he has membership there at Forest Hill, so we always, when we go to that tennis tournament, you know, so he won't get in free since he has membership. You don't have to pay all those entrance fees like everybody else.
What's a tennis club in New York that's so exclusive you almost have to be born to it?
Town Tennis Club?
The Town Tennis
Club. He owns it.
I thought he
was. It was his.
That's a family thing, isn't it?
Yeah, my great-grandfather started that. It's built on top of a building. One of the buildings that they owned. The courts are put right on top of the building. And it's funny because all these sky-rise apartments around on all four sides. When you go up to serve a ball, you're looking up in somebody's window or something. It's really weird. But yeah, you can't get in that unless you just really have to be born into it mostly.
But you just about have to play tennis to stay in your family.
Yeah, they're all tennis players. That's right.
Does your sister play?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's ranked in the state.
And your mother at one time was—I remember what—was she doubles champion? Or what,
oh yeah, she's real good too. She was. Oh, she's won lots of things. I don't know.
Has
your
daddy been tainted?
Oh yeah, he's won lots too.
Yeah. Well, did he do that before or after?
All the time.
Before he got in touch with your family.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody said that if Teresa was playing tennis and it didn't make any difference who you were, if you drove up, she finished that tennis game. Or tennis match.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, they all do
then
that.
Then maybe she spoke to you.
They all do that. Dad does that, too. Somebody drives up, right, and they always come out, and we finish, and then say hello after we finish.
Well, you can't miss that, Nick. That's on your calendar.
Yeah, I know. But I don't know.
Well, you've been going to New York for just a
I've been
few
going
days, so ever since I've been knowing.
I know. Every year I've been going to New York. But I don't know about going this time.
But you got 10 things in New York.
Well, I usually do. This time I don't. That's one of the reasons why I may not go. Oh, I gotta go see Ellen. She's in Washington. But that's only halfway. Well, not half.
No distance from Washington to New York.
Yeah, no, but.
Well, she hasn't started school yet.
No, she starts the same time I do, but she's up with her parents, and he has to start his dean work and already, so he's back at the end.
He has to be there before the. He has to be there early.
Yeah.
That's one trouble with being dean.
You got to be early. And then you got to stay late.
Yeah.
Clean up.
And be on tap all the time.
Be on call, yeah.
Never clear your desk, really.
Well, he was supposed to have 3 months vacation this year and only ended up with one.
You mean he on the mountain just 1 month?
The family was there all the time, but he was only there for a month.
Well, now, where is Ellen at? The other sisters go to school?
Mm-hmm. Margaret goes
all different places.
She goes to a private girls' prep school up there. And Caroline, just in grammar school, she goes to someone up there. And Kathy, is already married. She's off in Oxford. Her husband is, who is a good friend of mine and a Swanee graduate, has got a Rhodes Scholarship and he's over there now.
And you know him on both. You know her too?
Mm-hmm. No, all four of them. Everybody, all of them. But I know Carl, her husband, better. Because I always knew him at school. Knew him before I knew them.
Well, Nick, like you were saying last night, now There is some advantages. There's some advantage to being connected like that. You don't have to worry financially.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Wow, if you had all that money, you could rest easy.
Yeah.
I guess. But then it'd probably be giving you a lot of trouble, too.
But you could take care of that after breakfast and go on about your day.
I don't know. Well, maybe, but they always tell me that you gotta be worrying about your stocks and everything all the time if you had lots of money.
Well, if you were connected to that family now, you see, you'd have a full-time job in the family, wouldn't you?
Well, I'd like to think not, but I don't know, maybe so.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to do that. I could be like Carl and just ship off to England and get away from him. Like their other son-in-law.
Oh, that's what he did?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Just his wife went over to England. But he's back all the time, vacations and stuff. He stays with them.
Yeah. Well, now, you see, you monkey around with these old plug horses down here. Up there, you see, you can have a regular stable, and you wouldn't have to put out some money.
Yeah, that's right. Well, but those are his prized horses, eh? I don't know. He wouldn't like that, I don't think.
Wouldn't like somebody looking at him?
Wouldn't like somebody outside.
Yeah.
Looking at him.
Well, I was trying to pick up what you said last night when I wrapped your knuckles. And just look at it favorably.
Yeah. You know, one of the reasons that we can't get somebody to come out here and just look at the place is because they got to have full employment. I don't mean just here; they got to
mm-hmm.
work hours.
Mhm.
Yeah.
And see, you've been the only one who's been free enough to look at the place, and we figure that's the best investment a fellow can make.
Mhm.
That's right.
See, that's more than anybody can pay you in dollars and cents.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that wages and hours, you see, that's... But if they don't have wages and hours, Nick...
Yeah, I know.
If something just turns the wrong way inside of them...
Mm-hmm.
It's... Now, I keep thinking that's the labor union side.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them, you see, up there, you don't remember this big, tall, red-headed fella who read with me one time. And you know he's addicted to WRUF. And he writes those crummy ads. And he just puts in time over there. They give him a 15-cent raise, he just thinks he just crows. Now that's, you see, he don't
mm-hmm.
have to work.
Mm-hmm.
He could, over there, you see, he could read, he could come out here and work with me a little bit. He's on that WRUF.
Well, the thing about it, Nick has...
Now, what's that?
I don't know.
He got a sport car? He got his sport car. Yours is just a little Model T compared to his.
See, with an insight and an inquiry, you know, it wouldn't be mercenary if you could look at it. If he was in that family, look at the things you could do. You know,
yeah.
And then you wouldn't have to make a profession out of carpentry. You just could do it
Oh yeah, well I know
that. I mean, all those.
That's what I was thinking of. If I had.
If you didn't have to put in 8 hours.
That's right. If I didn't. Well, you know, some people have to do that, just to eat and sleep. But if I didn't have to do that, then I could just diddle around and do what I wanted.
Well, is that what you figure on doing? Just diddle around and do what you wanted?
Well, I don't know. The old man might not like that. I'm thinking they like, most fathers, they like to have their sons in business or something crazy like that.
Tied down to some
yeah.
office job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could always.
Making a steady income. But you see, if I already had all the money, then there wouldn't be any. Of course, though, they still like to see something doing.
You could always be working on a research project.
Yeah, I could tell them that I was trying to develop a new breed with the horses. Staying up. Meanwhile, I was just doing nothing but riding around the country.
Well, now, Nick, you won't pursue what you said, where you started last night. Now, you see, you what you said last night, this would be a nice umbrella. You'd have no more worries.
Yeah.
And I cut you off and you won't pick it up again.
I don't remember where I was.
No matter where you was.
That has to be true either.
Oh, I was saying I could just retire.
Yeah.
Right away.
Sure.
Yeah, and then I could build a cabinet when I wanted or ride a horse when I wanted.
That's right. You'd be busy, but you wouldn't build a whole house.
Yeah, that's right. I wouldn't take on anything big. Just doodle around doing this and that.
If anybody wanted you to help them, Mr. Lytle, you'd tell him yes, sir. But it might take you 6 months to get there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Then I could see all the more many people that way.
Yeah. Well, now. He's all scotch up there already, Faye. He's already changed gear, hasn't he?
Well, I changed clothes.
That made a difference, didn't it, Nick?
Yeah, I put that suit back on.
Mr. Wood, is his name Wood?
Woods.
Woods.
Mm-hmm. Cecil Woods.
He doesn't, as Nick gave us a glimpse last night, he doesn't seem to be a man of great deal of leisure. He's probably busy all the time.
Oh, busy all the time. Yeah, running around, doing this, that, and everything. Well, he's got business to attend to. I mean, his family business, I guess. Also, he's dean and all that. He doesn't do too much preaching anymore.
Well, I would tell you, Nate. See, I'm just taking it over myself. But this boy, you see, right off to England, he don't know how to do anything.
Oh, no, nothing. That's right.
All right.
He's one of those.
All right. Hey, see, you get in there and you can put in a sink, and the next time you'll put in something else.
Yeah, but I don't know how they're going to take that, though. They might think I'm just common labor.
Don't kid yourself.
Well, I don't know.
The common labor is not that common.
I know anymore, that's right.
In both senses.
That's right,
and
not
what,
anymore.
What you get is pretty common. Well, I'm getting all tied up now.
That's right, I know what you mean.
It's hard to get, and then when you get it...
It's no good, that's right. Well, that may be true.
If you don't want to put the stake in, you can get a fella to do it for you.
Yeah.
But you can see to it that he puts it in, right?
Yeah.
How about
what you know?
Now that's it.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. Well, like the horseshoes, I got to make sure the guy. He said that farrier that they have up there is no good. I don't know why he goes to that one, because I know a real good one up there. But anyway, you know, when they built his house, it was just 3-4 years ago. I remember when I was a freshman when it was being built. Everything, they did everything wrong. He made careful designs and everything in the house, and the contractor built it wrong.
He couldn't read.
In fact, they built half of it and had to tear the whole thing down and start over again because it was wrong. The contractor just did it all wrong. And so they tore the whole thing down and started over again and didn't get it right then either. They switched contractors about 3 times and made lots of mistakes on their house. But he was really perturbed that nobody could get anything right.
And
he was afraid he'd have to do it himself.
Why wouldn't he know that they couldn't get it right?
I don't know. But it turned out, from the outside, it looks like a lovely house. And inside it does too, but if you look careful, there's some walls that are crooked and some windows that are out of line and things like that that just were really bad. That should have been right.
You mean crude?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like one wall in the back part of one some little room, one wall just leans over to the side all the way. You can tell right away. And one in the front, they cut a place for a window when they built the blocks. They left a place for a window, and there wasn't any window there in the plan. They just assumed that there would be a window there. And so, turns out there couldn't be a window there because that was the back of the refrigerator or something. Or there was another wall behind it from this, so they couldn't put a window in there. So here was this hole in the wall from the outside is the front of the house. And so they put a piece of plywood up there and painted it white and put ivy around it and made it look all right, I guess. But sort of wonder what this hole is doing in the wall. In the wall, but then contractor just thought there ought to be a window there and put one in. Of course, it wasn't on the plans for there to be a hole in there, but he did it.
See, Nick, just around the place, you see. You see more than a whole bunch put together.
You know, a lot of times the head man can't get the stuff done as well as somebody along the line. And it's hard to talk to him, and it's and you see they're on their good behavior, and they don't actually understand what you're talking about.
The head man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had that problem with the man that came and put the roof in on the house that we were building. He had a crew that came, a bunch of fellows that. Just old backwoodsmen, you know, just farmers, they looked like thugs to me. They were really rough. But anyway, the head guy was a regular sort of fella, but he, you know, like we told him that we wanted to leave place, the chimney hadn't been put in, the fireplace hadn't been put in yet. We wanted to leave a place in the ceiling on the roof where the fireplace would go for him not to roof that part so that the roofing, if you come back later and roof it right up to the chimney so that it wouldn't leak, you know, and all. Whereas if we put it in now and then you put the chimney up over it, that it would leak down the side. And we say, oh yeah, I know all about those chimneys. And went ahead and roofed right on over. That chimney hadn't been put in yet. He didn't even listen. And there was a couple other little things too.
Didn't even miss it.
Didn't even miss it. Just went right on over.
Yeah.
He we had some gables on the side. The front part of the house is just a triangle thing, and then down, and then on the side there's some gables. And we had clapboarding boards on the side of the gables. You know, those notch boards that fit over the top of each other. So he came to those, and he wanted the roof. He wanted to put the roof down beside and on the top of the gables, but then he thought it'd be better to put the roof just up the side of the clapboarding up to the top of the gable. And so he asked about that. He said, what about putting the roof up there? And since it's just a little distance up there, we thought, well, maybe that'd be good to keep the water out better. And so we told him, okay, but to do that, he had to tear out the whole, he had to tear out all our clapboarding that we put in. And he replaced it with old plywood. And I couldn't understand why in the world he had to do that. And we told him at the time that we wanted to leave the clapboarding there, and if he couldn't work around that, not to do it. But he did it and didn't work around it either. So, but now the crew, I got along well with them. The old fellas doing the actual stuff, they turned about that. Boy, when they came in that first day, I thought we were going to be mugged. They looked so rough. One guy was missing an eye. He lost in a knife fight. And the other guy had scars, all just really rough looking characters. Big, muscular guys. And the roofing shingles coming. 110-pound bundles. And those guys will pick up one in this hand, one, and throw them up here to the shoulder and walk along the roof right down, balancing their weight across the top. Slap down one here and one there. So,
you know, I haven't seen a bundle of shingles in a long time.
We had, you know, we had the old type put on. The roofer wanted to put this fancy stuff, you know, laid out nice in little squares. No, we wanted the, we made him get the old type of shingles that you don't see anymore. Irregular type, sort of, you know. He didn't like to fool with those, but we made him do it. But anyway, I got along well with the crew. They turned out to be most interested of them all.
The one that lost his eye?
Yeah, he was the sort of head of the workers. You know, there was the head man of the head contractor, you know, they all worked for. And then the guy with missing an eye was sort of the, he did a lot of work himself, did most of it as a matter of fact, the actual hammering and all. But he was still sort of in control about what was going to be done next. Whereas the other guys sort of were just carrying things back and forth and cutting things and all, and he would be doing the main stuff. And I remember we put a side porch on one side. It was supposed to be even with the roof coming down off the regular roof. And it was just going to tack right on and be a side porch. But we got a little bit off, and the side porch came up and the main roof came down about like that, and there was a little drop off. And it wasn't but about that much. So the roof said, oh, no problem. Oh, we can just roof right over that, it'd be real nice. You know, no problem. And so we were glad that we didn't have to adjust for that, so since they could do that. And then I remember going up there later, and when they had just finished that, and then they had been done with that, and the guy with one eye came around. He wasn't doing that part, he was working on some other part. He came around and saw that. and he kind of fished around underneath and felt it and everything. Said, this won't do. Tried to take it all up. Said, you got to have something to support that little space under there. That the shingle can't just go through air. And so he took up himself, you know, took up all the whole strip all the way for the length of the porch, that one shingle. Each shingle that went along that space, took it all up and put a little board in there so that it would have something to go on all the way, and then put it all back down.
You know, I had that, I put that little shed up out there where the cows have it, mm-hmm. their slips and horses.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to make that flush.
Yeah, it's hard in the world to make those things flush like
you. You got to nail the boards up.
Yeah.
And then put boards on them.
On top, yeah, and you got to allow for all. Yeah, we didn't come out. We didn't come out right either. I don't know how. But he was it pleased me that he was being conscientious like that. He said, "You leave them 5 minutes and they'll do something wrong. Got to watch them every minute."
But some of them looked pretty rough.
Oh, man. Boy, when they walked in that first day, we had just been in contact with the head guy, the contractor. And he was a nice sort of fella in a coat and tie and everything, you know. And he said, oh, yeah, was telling us, you know, giving us estimates and all. And then he said, well, I'll send the crew up tomorrow. And boy, at 8 o'clock that morning we were standing around, all of a sudden these guys walked in. Looked like they were going to steal the house. They were really rough looking.
Well, did you get to talk to any?
Well, some. I tried to, but it's awful hard because they didn't want to talk. They wanted to do their roofing stuff. But I got to talk a little bit. But mostly they wouldn't.
They might have been from P. Ray to places like that.
Well, I knew where they were from. I found that out anyway. Well, all of them that I found out where they were from were all from Manchester, which little town, the opposite way from Pea Ridge.
And it's a little town on the railroad.
Yeah. But that's where the home office of this roofing company is, sort of. And then all the boys live around town there.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't talk too much. They were too busy to talk, really. I couldn't get any much out of them more than hope it doesn't rain tomorrow kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then you were busy, too.
And then I was sort of busy too, yeah. And they would always sneak off. I was hoping that one day, you know, they'd be standing around getting ready to go home and I might get something. But the second they hammered the last nail, they ran off and got in the truck and left. Boy, you didn't see them. So I missed them everywhere.
They watch that clock these days.
Oh, boy, when 4 o'clock comes around, zoom. Boy, they can be right in the middle of a nail. And then they'll still be half up, and if it struck 4 o'clock, they'd stop right there. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah. These, they like to have a coat and hat on, too, by four, don't they?
Yeah, well, yeah, they sort of, yeah, they,
in some places.
The head guy, he, every once in a while, the head contractor guy would take his coat and hat off and get up there in his tie and white shirt and up on the roof and kind of look things over and maybe hammer in a nail or two here and there. And he was always gone before four. He'd always leave. But the other fellas, they, oh boy. Yeah, they'd be more like in the truck when it was four. 5 minutes before they'd start putting their hammers up and stuff, their equipment. And they weren't too regular on when they got there either. Supposed to be there at 8. But sometimes it'd be 9. Sometimes it'd be 8:30 or 10 even.
Well, I thought.
I know.
Yeah.
I thought that was part of them, that promptness.
Oh, no. Well, promptness to leave. Yeah, they, of course, now, they might have been working on door to door. What do they call it? Portal to portal. Where your time starts from the time you leave the house. You know, I mean, your time, you're paid for getting there.
From Manchester.
Yeah. And, but still, that ought to be a regular time. If they left at 8 exactly every day from Manchester, they'd be there by 8:30 every day. But sometimes it was 9 or 9:30,
10. Yeah.
Rarely they.
The whole crew.
Yeah. Well, they all come together.
Yeah.
They all ride. They had a big ton truck that they carried all their equipment in. And they all ride in that.
I don't believe a fellow could make much dent in a crew like that if he was there or absent. It would be about the same.
Yeah, I tried to see what I could do, but they weren't. I was surprised. I thought they were really gruff sort of characters, but they were always pleasant. And, you know, they'd stop in between hammer and a nail to say a couple of words, but then it wouldn't be much. Just enough to have said something.
And the Warren, is that his name?
Waring.
The work that you went along with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess you all just talked about the house mainly.
Yeah, mostly him. He was glad to have somebody like me that he could talk to about the house and have it understood. Cause he couldn't. He was always complaining about telling contractors that they wanted such and such a thing here and there and having it all wrong. So he liked the idea of having me there. Because it would always.
Well, where did he learn?
Because I understood.
Learned to work.
He didn't know how to work. He didn't know anything. I had to teach him everything. He didn't know anything. He didn't know how to drive a hand nail. He hit his thumb so many times, missing the nail.
Well, what help was he?
Well, he's that type that's pretty spongy. He could take up anything.
And after all, it was going to be his house.
Yeah, he had something at stake, so he wanted to be careful. But no, he got a great deal of common sense, which is mostly what all it is anyway.
Yeah.
And he's not a weakling. He can labor and do work and not get tired. He's in shape. So we got along well.
Well, it not a matter of being weakling around that what you was doing. It's just knowing how.
Yeah, that's true. So except at the beginning, it was pretty a lot of stuff. Those big beams holding up the walls and ceilings pretty heavy, and a lot of hammering and big stuff there for a while. Until we kept getting littler and littler things to do.
Yeah.
But at the beginning it was right big.
Well, he just hold it right.
Yeah, he'd hold it while I nail it or something like that. But no, he learned right fast about how to do all those things.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Well, he's it's pretty much common sense. When it comes to something we neither one of us knew, we could figure it out just using common sense. How it was.
Yeah.
Just doing it once and making a mistake and then you know. Like putting up that plasterboard, you see, you put up the
sheet of board and you put up another one right beside it and there's a crack.
Yeah.
So you have to mix up some plaster. We hadn't got all the instructions, we didn't know how to do any of that. And mixed up some plaster and supposed to spread some plaster, have one of those big wide knife, putty knife things. Spread the plaster down the crack. And then you let it dry. It takes 24 hours to dry. And you come back. And then you spread some more right down the crack, and then you put a piece of tape up. A piece of white paper. They call it tape, but it's a piece of paper about that wide, white. And you put it up and it sticks to the plaster, the wet plaster. And then you put some right over it. And you wait 24 hours. And then you come and do another coat right over it. And then, come on, sand it all off. And it should be perfectly smooth with the ceiling. And then you can paint it. And then you never, and it looks like one solid ceiling. You have the same with the nails. You beat the nails in below the surface, and you fill them up with that plaster, the holes, and it makes it perfectly smooth. But for a while there, we did that in the bathroom first so we could learn. And we didn't beat the nails in deep enough first. And some of the heads would still show. And then,
you didn't have nerve.
Yeah, it looked like, because the stuff's real. You can punch your finger through it. It's brittle stuff, the plasterboard. And, so we finally learned about that, just how to do it. What you have to do is, I got the term for it. It's funny, from one of those fellows that was around. He was walking through and he saw us putting up and said, "You gotta make a ring show." A ring, you know, we didn't know what in the world that was, but I figured it out. If you beat it in with the hammer so that it goes below the surface, the head of the hammer will make a ring right around the head. And the guy says, "If you make a ring show, it's all right." And so we just did that ever since. Filled up.
Yeah.
And then on the cracks, with the tape thing, that got sort of ripply at first, and there's little ripples in it, and you could see where the line was. And generally, you couldn't see any crack, but where the piece of tape went, and then the plaster over it was sort of wavy, not smooth. But we got that straightened out, too.
Yes.
Just by working around with it and figuring out how it went.
I hate to see that bathroom.
Well, we patched it up too. We came along and did it all after we figured out we did it all over.
Oh.
Again. Since it didn't matter, the only problem with doing it over is that you start making the walls thicker than they're supposed to be, but in the bathroom it didn't matter.
Now you did that and then you get on a double life.
Yeah. We'll see. I would live over at the Vice Chancellor's house. The president, they call him the Swami Vice Chancellor. The university provides him with a humongous house with 80 rooms or something. Anyway, I would live
with
over
what?
There. Oh, just
80 rooms?
Oh, at least. You know how those presidents' homes are. They're just tremendous. Oh, yeah. Right across the street from the administration, but right in the middle of campus.
Yeah.
The old frame house, 5 stories.
5?
And the ground floor, there's a study and a hall and a dining room and a pantry and a kitchen and a bathroom, another bathroom, and another sitting room, and another sitting room, and a piano room, and a music room, and a back porch. That's 14 rooms just downstairs, and they're all much bigger than the ones upstairs because they're big rooms. On the second floor, where are mostly bedrooms, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and
just the dormitory.
10 bedrooms in the front wing, and the back wing is that many more again. And then there's 3 more stories above that with more rooms. Well, the purpose of that is that when the trustees and the regents come, they're all put up there. For meetings, when big, you know, meetings and things are held, they're all put up in that house. But when he's there, just he and his wife, they just have one little room that they use, and the rest of the house is. But anyway, so I would live there during the summer since there was plenty of room. And get off of that.
You didn't have to pay room rent.
No, that's right.
That's your double life.
It's part of your double life.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. So after I finished work, I'd go over there and shower, clean up, and so I was right in place there when I got all dressed up, because that's one of those magnificent houses. And the vice chancellor's always prim and proper. But I would sometimes I'd eat dinner with them all in my grubby clothes too, and they didn't mind.
Not since you're working on his house.
That's right. That's right. But I never went over to Ellen's in my grubby clothes.
You know.
Although
did.
She wouldn't mind. You see, she never cared. Would care about that. But I figured her parents might, so I didn't. But see, she came over to the house where we were working lots.
Oh, she did.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't take a hand with the hammer.
No.
Well, what can she do?
Nothing.
Wear clothes?
Yeah, she can wear clothes, all right. Yeah, well, only reason she wears nice clothes is because they're all tailor-made, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess that's why they all fit. But, no, she can't hammer a nail, but she does right well for being where she is. What all she can do. I started taking her caving into those caves up there.
Yeah. Well, that was your idea.
Her parents didn't like the idea, but. No, it wouldn't stop her. She went on and she liked it. And took it up right well. Went into it. Started learning all about the different kinds of things you see in caves.
Oh.
And really enjoyed it. And then I started taking her hiking down all the. Well, first we rode down most of the paths on our horses. But then there were some paths that you couldn't ride down. She never had walked before. She'd always ridden.
Yeah.
So I started her hiking.
It would be pretty easy just to take over that life and always be dressed.
I don't know about always being dressed. That takes too much time to get all dressed like that.
Well, after 3 summers of not having, I'm not changing your shirt once.
I know, but I just saw my old shirt. I like that.
I don't think I ever saw you in any shirt except that blue one until you bought that one.
Well, the blue one finally just disappeared.
It just went to pieces.
Yeah, and I had to get this. I wore it out this summer up there. I wore it, and it just fell apart.
But what do you spend money on, Nick? You don't spend money, do you?
Well, the only money I spent this summer was on her. Eating out and stuff.
Oh, you?
Going to movies.
Yeah, I somehow didn't picture you as paying the bill.
Well, I tried not to when I could, but.
I don't know what. I just figured that was the whole family was long or something.
No, they were on sometimes, but sometimes when we were alone, I paid the bill. So that's the only thing I spent money on.
Good Lord, you come out in the hole.
That's right. In fact, I nearly spent up what I got for the car on her. Just this summer. Going to some of those fancy places. Well, I made the mistake of asking her where she'd like to go to eat or something. She'd always pick out the swankiest, the most expensive place.
Yeah.
That she's always been used to going to.
Yeah.
Which were cost a fortune.
And you enjoyed the food when you went?
Well, thinking about what it cost kind of took the edge off what it tasted like.
Well, now you see, last night you got a totally different impression.
Well.
You just never know, Faye.
We went to the green room one time in Chattanooga. I never had been there. And she said, oh, it's a great place. I said, okay, we'll go there. So we went to this place and looked like, just like the Waldorf or something. Just unbelievable.
Yeah.
And looked at the menu, won a thing under $10 in there. Couldn't even get a hamburger for $10. So she got some fancy something that cost $25 or something. She got let's see, what was that? She got some foreign name, but anyway, it was Founder and all the trimmings and everything mixed up, just special.
Yeah.
Some foreign name for it. And that was $27, I remember. So I got a chef salad, which was the cheapest thing on the menu.
The waiter looked at you, didn't they?
Yeah. It was a great chef salad, best I ever had, but wow. For $12 or whatever it was. I don't know.
The next day, you just hit the hammer right away?
Well, I believe that was the day I took a day off. No, I don't remember what I did the next day.
Nick, I was just thinking you were getting wages up there.
No.
Yes.
I was just real happy that for one time you would get. We figured if you wanted to really make money down here, you'd go breed horses or something. But I figured up there you'd get wages.
No, I'm in the same thing up there. Well, the nice thing he gave me
wages. Gave you some records.
And he put me up or anything, but he gave me unlimited expenses. I charged everything that I wanted, gas and everything, including, you see, there's a restaurant right there in town.
Yeah.
And when I take her to eat there, I just charge it to him, see.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he didn't mind that. He said to. And so most of the time, you see, it was like that. But occasionally, we'd run down to Chattanooga, 40 miles away.
Yeah.
And that was one of the times. And then we went to Atlanta a couple of times.
Lord.
But, so it's a few times there that really were costly.
Now those indiscretions will stay in your mind. You remember them, won't you?
Yeah.
As indiscretions.
That's right.
They're not worth much.
That's right.
That's
well,
curious, isn't it? You know, that destroys your thinking. It's like a revolutionary thesis. I learned that from Bassetta last year. She'd been on this student strike to close the university. And she'd been doing a little of that beforehand. And then it fell through here. And she was upset.
Mm-hmm.
And she went up the country and tried to pursue the same thing.
and it was hard on her again. And she talked about it. And then she came out here and talked about it, and I'd tape what she said and then listen to it. And I could see it was perfectly clear. A revolutionary thesis destroys this whole mentality.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you see. Mm-hmm. Everything is reduced to that one thing, and you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what you're eating, cornbread or biscuits.
That's right.
I never realized that before. It simplifies. It must simplify life to. You see, a preacher has that in part. He's hired to be a good man. And goodness is not a natural thing.
That's right.
So his whole life is ought to be repudiated. You shouldn't encourage it. It's not hypocrisy. It's just, y'all don't help me at all, and I'm floundered for a word.
Hard to be good.
Of course, in the army, they had the preachers playing poker.
Oh.
Nick.
Well.
Is your whole family poker players
mm-hmm.
from way back?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember your mother called up one day and said that to tell you to come on home and bring your money because it's a poker game scheduled
yeah.
for that night.
Yeah, she plays, my dad plays, my sister even plays.
And your grandfather and your great-grandfather before, I was thinking about
yeah.
the poker tables
yeah.
that you had made.
Yeah, they were great poker players. We have some old poker chips. We have the original chips that are ivory from way back there. And they've been marked on. People will write on them. Things like, you know, Jack Smith lost $83 March 20th, 1921 or something. You know. And it's the old things just with these names, that friends of my mother's father, his father, something from way back, still on chips. Or so-and-so got a royal flush on so-and-so night. And they're all still there. All those chips.
That's
and we always have played. Well, we've never played. I've never ever known a game to be very expensive, so that you don't have fun. I played in those kind of games at school, and it's not much fun when you have big stakes. You don't have. You're concerned so much about your money, you can't enjoy a game.
Yeah.
Or just enjoy company. And that's the way it's always is at home. We always play for pennies. And you don't worry about losing a dollar.
Yeah.
You know, just to have fun. And that's what we always do at home. There's a regular group of some friends that come over every once a month or something.
How many?
Six.
At a time.
Uh-huh. Six or seven. Poker's played with six or seven best. So there's us. If my sister doesn't play, there's three of us, so we get three or four more.
Yeah.
There's a regular set of people that come. We always just play for pennies.
So that keeps you in touch with Dom and Jim Brady.
Yeah.
You all don't help me at all.
Yeah.
That keeps you in touch. Phil Patterson. Phil had a strong sense of poker.
Really, did he?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Hmm.
And he could see, I don't know the terminology, but he could hold a flush and
know what to do.
Put it down, yeah.
Well, they say, I never have been able to do it, but they say that you got to play the big ones just like you do the little ones.
Yeah.
They say, we got that playing for pennies down to a science near about.
just about just exactly how you have to do it, with what hand and how much you have to bet and when you can bluff and not. But boy, it sure is hard to do that for $20.
Yeah.
If you're doing it for big stakes, you know, you don't want to bluff and have the chance of losing that $20.
Yeah.
But they say that if you're going to play for big, you got to play it just the same way you do for the little money.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you'll lose.
Otherwise.
For sure.
Well, too, you see, like Phil, my mind went right to Miss Chitty. And the family game with Nick is poker. And has been for all these generations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And is Diamond Jim Brady and